It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Rain, clouds, welcome. Welcome aboard, and thanks for checking in. It has been a dry July, folks, but some much-needed precipitation is percolating in the atmosphere. Now, not everybody's going to get in on the action today, but those who do desperately need it. Meteorologist Kevin Williams says the wet stuff will be short-lived as those rain clouds move out tomorrow, return to high and dry conditions to end your work week. Next chance of rain, not till late Sunday into Monday. President Biden meeting right now at the White House with Mexico's president. That get-together is squarely aimed at finding solutions to the illegal immigration crisis. Former ICE Director Jonathan Fahey calls it a photo op.
Yeah, this is to trick the American people, but I think the American people are wise to this. They're smart. They know this administration isn't doing anything and isn't taking this border issue seriously.
Pinal County, Arizona Sheriff Mark Lamb says what's happening at the southern border is an invasion.
The only time I've seen this administration talk about the border is when Texas or Arizona is trying to do something to stop the immigration. It is an invasion.
This property owner in the state of Texas says the flow of illegals has ruined her ranch.
The border's not closed. They're pouring across every day, and they're destroying our property.
26,000 migrant arrests have been made in less than a week in Texas. Mr. Biden leaves tonight for Israel, the first leg of a four-day trip to the Middle East, his first visit to the Holy Land since taking office. Fox News correspondent Trey Yings.
Biden will be shown an array of missile defense systems built by Israel that shoot down rockets from places like Lebanon and Gaza. No major announcements are expected on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, though Biden will meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas on Friday before heading to Saudi Arabia.
The Biden administration wants the Saudis to increase their oil output to help drive down record-high gas prices here in the States. A U.S. drone strike today killed the leader of ISIS in Syria. Pentagon correspondent Courtney Cube says this guy was a big deal within that terrorist group.
Somebody who was planning attacks, according to U.S. officials, or working on planning, efforting attacks outside of Syria.
U.S. Central Command conducting the strike in the northwestern part of Syria. CENTCOM describing the target as being one of the top five ISIS leaders on the planet. Thousands line the streets of Tokyo today to bid farewell to Japan's longest-serving Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, who was assassinated last Friday.
The hearse carrying Shinzo Abe's remains took him one last time past the parliament he'd served as a lawmaker. And then his old headquarters, the Prime Minister's residence, where colleagues, including Japan's current Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, waited to say a last goodbye.
Asian correspondent Elizabeth Palmer. The Biden administration has taken federal action on abortion. The new policy ensures a woman's access to abortion, even in states that restrict the procedure, should that woman's life be in danger. HHS Secretary Javier Becerra.
In order to save her life, that woman is entitled to get the care she needs. That could include an abortion, even in a state that says it bans abortion.
Pro-life groups are quick to point out that the vast majority of abortions are done out of convenience, not to save the life of the mother. The U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee hosting a hearing right now on the impact of last month's Supreme Court ruling striking down Roe v. Wade. Democrat Dick Durbin chairs that committee.
This case represents the first time in America's history that the Supreme Court has revoked a constitutionally protected right.
Republican Chuck Grassley.
We're here today because the Supreme Court has corrected a wrong that has impacted millions of lives since 1973.
Grassley notes that protecting the rights of the unborn is not a worldview that is outside the mainstream. A new poll shows 64% of Democrats do not want Joe Biden to run again for president in 2024. This says his overall approval rating plummets to just 33%. Fox News political analyst Kellyanne Conway.
Just a couple months ago, we were told he's FDR. He's got the energy. Look at him go. He's got the mental acuity. Now they're done with him. I think they're worried about what's going to happen. So they know there's a storm coming.
The New York Times Siena College survey finds just 13% of the American people believe the country is headed in the right direction. 26% of Democrats think the party should re-nominate President Biden. It's called BA5, and it's driving the sixth wave of COVID-19. Here's reporter Sarah Lee Kessler.
It is not more severe, but it's very good at reinfecting.
Dr. Lydia Virgil of Somos Community Care in the Bronx says BA5 is also tougher to detect.
People with symptoms that test may test negative on the first test.
More than 2,200 New Yorkers are in the hospital with COVID, about half in New York City. That's comparable to the February surge seen with Omicron. The CDC labeling all five boroughs, Westchester, and six New Jersey counties high risk, recommending masks indoors again. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
California firefighters, I should say, continue to battle a massive wildfire that's threatening 3,000-year-old giant sequoia trees at Yosemite National Park.
Despite flames being attacked from all angles, the Washburn Fire continues to expand.
We are getting as many resources as we possibly can. We have tankers, we have helicopters, we have dozers.
It's all part of a multifaceted effort to save these national treasures. The giant sequoias are known for being fire resistant, but even they have a limit.
You'll look up and you'll see 200-foot flame lengths. That kind of fire is why they are less resistant.
In the past 6 years, over 85% of the giant sequoia habitat has been hit by wildfire.
Jonathan Vigliotti reporting. It's a party within a picture. NASA is showing off the first color photos from the new $10 billion James Webb Telescope. Scott Pace heads the Space Policy Institute at George Washington University.
We're going to also be able to use this instrument on objects that we've never been able to use this kind of a powerful instrument on in and around our own solar system.
The glittery snapshot reveals stars and galaxies billions of miles from Earth. The pics are the deepest view of our universe ever captured, revealing images some 7,600 light years away. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, Burger Fest in Hamburg, treating COVID over the phone, and Tops reopens Friday.
Well, good afternoon. Changeable conditions are ahead across our area this afternoon with everything from sunshine to a thunderstorm. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin Williams, we will see you then. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf said today that the Keystone State will roll out the welcome mat to abortion-vulnerable women from other states who need assistance in terminating their pregnancy. Wolf said Pennsylvania will assist out-of-state residents who travel to the Commonwealth for the sole purpose of obtaining an abortion. Abortions are legal in Pennsylvania up to 24 weeks of pregnancy. Well, it appears that former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is getting ready now to sue the state trooper who accused him of sexual misconduct. The New York Post reports today that lawyers for Cuomo are requesting documents related to this case. The female trooper once served as a Cuomo bodyguard. Law enforcement in New York say they cannot enforce certain aspects of a new gun control measure. Family Life's Jeremy Miller has that story new at noon.
The big issue is forcing lawful gun owners to turn over their social media accounts as a requirement to obtain a concealed carry permit. Several district attorneys say the law is unenforceable. It also fails to provide funding for extra staff needed and is the latest example of why they should be included in the discussion about such laws. Legal experts say the measure could be challenged all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Governor Hochul's office argues the new law provides relevant information to licensing officials to complete thorough background checks on anyone applying for a concealed carry permit. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. The top store that was the scene of a mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, 2 months ago will reopen this Friday. Mayor Byron Brown.
Thousands of people shop at that store. It's important for the store to reopen. Understand the feelings of trauma. Understand that there are some people that will not go back to the store.
The Jefferson Avenue supermarket has been shut down since May 14th, which is when police say 18-year-old Peyton Gendron Gendron of Conklin, New York, opened fire on unsuspecting customers.
The wounds are still fresh. People are still grieving.
10 were killed, 3 others hurt in the racially motivated shooting. A moment of silence will be held Thursday afternoon to honor the victims just before that store reopens to the public. Wegmans is holding a job fair today to fill hundreds of openings at supermarket locations throughout the Rochester, New York area. Today's job fair is happening from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Pittsford Wegmans on Monroe Avenue. Wegmans needs food service workers, pharmacy techs, cooks, and managers, full and part-time jobs. Anyone who wants to apply can do so by visiting jobs.wegmans.com. Well, treating COVID is as easy as a phone call now in New York.
Governor Hochul says a new toll-free hotline will serve New Yorkers who test positive for COVID-19 but do not have a health care provider. Residents across the state can call 888-TREAT-NY. That's 888-TREAT-NY 24 hours a day to connect with professionals who have clinical training and can provide the treatment or referrals if needed. Infectious disease experts say a new subvariant of the virus is making the rounds across the state. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you. A state senator from Central New York wants an investigation into cashless tolling on the thruway. Republican Joe Griffo says he's been hearing complaints about overcharging on that nearly 500-mile stretch of highway.
Constituents and residents across New York are facing challenges, and they don't need additional problems to be dealing with.
Senator Griffo has written a letter to the Thruway Authority referencing a specific incident wherein a constituent was charged $6 when she should have been charged 67 cents.
What I would like to see is ownership and responsibility. This is their system. We know it's new technology. There will be glitches, but we want them to acknowledge, address, and fix the issue.
The Republican representative has called on Comptroller Tom DiNapoli to further investigate the matter. The Wesleyan Church's oldest college is getting a new name. Houghton College in Allegheny County, New York is now Houghton University. The State Board of Regents has just approved that name change for the Highlanders. Houghton was founded in 1883. Faculty, staff, students, and alumni will gather next week to celebrate the birth of Houghton University. What a moment for that school. The home of the Pittsburgh Steelers is getting a new name.
It's going to be called Acrisure Stadium. Acrisure is an insurance brokerage firm based in Michigan.
KDKA's Chris Hoffman.
One of the big questions, what happens now to the Heinz Red Zone? What happens to those big ketchup bottles on top of the scoreboard?
No more Heinz Field. The deal gives Acrisure naming rights to that stadium for the next 15 years. Well, the home of the Hamburg Burger is hosting Burger Fest this Saturday. The food was born in Hamburg, New York, according to historian Chris Hennett.
As the lore has it, and I know there are some who will debate, but the Menchez brothers were serving pork sausage patties, ran out of pork, went to the local butcher, who also was out of pork, got hamburger, used the same spices, put it on a bun, and when people asked what was it, they looked up, they saw they were in Hamburg, and they dubbed it the hamburger.
And the rest, they say, is history. That event reportedly happened at the Erie County Fair way back in the year 1885. This year, more than 90 vendors will return to Burger Fest after being away for the past 2 years due to COVID. It is now 12 past the hour. Time for sports on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the Mets have got to be feeling better getting their stud pitchers back. Jacob DeGrom has thrown 2 rehab starts and felt really good. He'll throw in Syracuse on Thursday as he continues on the comeback trail. Meantime, last night, Max Scherzer stymied a hot Atlanta Braves club, allowing only 1 run over 7 innings. He struck out 9. The Mets beat the Braves 4-1. Albert Pujols is at it again as he collected his 1,378th extra base hit, a double that missed being a home run by 1 inch, but that hit moves him into third place all time. The Cards did get home runs from Corey Dickerson and Lars Nootbaar and beat the Phillies 6-1. Mitch Keller went seven strong, only gave up a run, and Jake Marisnyk homered in the Pirates' 5-1 win in Miami. The Padres edged Colorado 6-5. The D-backs won by a run over San Francisco 4-3. In the American League, the Royals took a pair from Detroit 3-1 and 7-3. Tampa Bay beat Boston 10-5. The Guardians doubled up Chicago 8-4. And Texas got past Oakland 10-8. In hockey news, Penguins fans can't be too excited about Evgeny Malkin turning down the latest Pittsburgh contract offer. He is going to test the free agent market. And speaking of Pittsburgh, the Steelers will be playing in a different stadium next season. Well, different in name only. Heinz Field is now Acrisure Stadium. The global insurance broker will have the naming rights to that stadium for the next 15 years. That is a look at sports.
All right, Randy, thank you for that. And still to come on the Noon Report, Dems turn on President Biden. It's wheels up tonight for Air Force One and a hometown hero with a passion for life. Meet Rochester, New York's Jim Harden, the founder of Compass Care.
Those hoping for a future of technology without religion won't like what they find. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. One of the most enigmatic, sensational, and misguided thinkers of the last 10 years is Israeli historian and pop philosopher Yuval Noah Harari. His book Sapiens, which was published in English in 2015, sold over 1 million copies as it told the story of mankind's evolution. His 2017 book predicts a transhumanist future, a world where technology fundamentally reshapes what kind of entity human beings are. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls, he told attendees at the 2020 World Economic Forum annual meeting. We are now hackable animals. 2 years earlier, he said this, by hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the power of life itself. This will be not just the greatest revolution in the history of humanity, this will be the greatest revolution in biology since the very beginning of life 4 billion years ago. Harari's prophecy doesn't end there. Quote, science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution via intelligent design, he said in 2018. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud. These are the new driving forces of evolution, end quote. Harari's ideas suffer from a fatal inconsistency. While positioning himself as a prophet, interested in solving the worst abuses that could befall our future hackable selves, he cuts the ideological ground out from anything standing in their way. Liberalism, he wrote in an article in The Guardian, is unprepared for a situation when individual freedom is subverted from within, when the very concepts of individual and freedom no longer make much sense, end quote. And yet, in nearly the same breath, Harari rushes us towards that exact conclusion, quote, in order to survive and prosper in the 21st century, he writes, we need to leave behind the naive view of humans as free individuals, a view inherited from Christian theology as much as from the modern Enlightenment. Though he's right about the origins of classic liberalism, the result is a kind of self-contradictory mess. In effect, Harari is saying that we should stop people from being hacked by hacking ourselves first, that we should defend universal values by denying they exist. Quote, I don't know where the answers will come from, Harari admits, but they're definitely not coming from a collection of stories written thousands of years ago, end quote. Now, all of this matters because ideas have consequences and bad ideas have victims. Harari and those like him may be attempting to shape the trajectory of transhumanism toward a utopian future. But, as is often the case, public intellectuals with good intentions but bad worldviews, they're often the most blind to the practical implications of their own thinking. How does liberal democracy function in an era where governments and corporations can hack humans, Harari asked in that Guardian article. A better question is this. How does liberal democracy function in an era when people rush to assume that they're merely predetermined hackable animals instead of moral agents responsible for their own decisions, living in a society of people who are created equal and endowed by their creator with inalienable rights? Well, history tells us the answer to that question. It cannot. The entire concept of human rights is intimately connected with Christian anthropology. Gut a society of that worldview, there's no limit to how far we can fall. Technology makes imagined futures possible, but ideas shape how and why we use technology. If he's looking for a worldview that's better for empowering techno-tyrants, corporatists, and demagogues, well, he could do little better
than the one he's promoting. On the other hand, if he's really looking to evade the oppression he seems to fear, he should look to one of those old stories that he derides. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Thank you, John. It is 18 past the hour. Work week weather with Kevin Williams next.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, warm, breezy, humid. Changeable skies, clouds, sunshine, a couple showers and thundery downpours in the area. And any thunderstorm, especially in the eastern southern tier of New York into eastern Pennsylvania, has the potential to be locally strong. High temperatures, 80s, dropping back towards 60 tonight. Tomorrow, clouds and sunshine with an afternoon shower for some, behind near 80. On Thursday, partly sunny with high temperatures in the 70s to near 80.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thank you for joining us today. A lot going on this Tuesday, the 12th day of July. It is wheels up tonight for Air Force One. President Biden is making his first trip to the Holy Land since taking office. The four-day excursion includes stops in Israel and Saudi Arabia, where the president will urge more oil output on the part of the Saudis in order to drive down fuel costs here at home. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson weighed in earlier today.
The solution to these high gas prices that we're seeing right now is underneath our feet. We have more resources than anywhere else in the world, and yet we have a president who refuses to acknowledge science. And so he's going off to the Middle East to beg for foreign oil.
This morning, President Biden met with his counterpart from Mexico at the White House to talk about, amongst other things, the migrant crisis at our southern border. The White House believes Russia is seeking hundreds of drones from Iran to use in its six-month-old war with Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
We will continue to do our part to help sustain the effective defense of Ukraine and to help the Ukrainians show that the Russian effort to try to wipe Ukraine off the map cannot succeed.
Russia may be trying to weaponize hundreds of drones in order to wipe out strategic targets inside of Ukraine. 18 abortion rights groups are requesting a meeting with President Biden following the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the U.S. Supreme Court. That decision in late June returns the abortion issue to the states. Planned Parenthood is among the groups demanding the president do more to protect abortion. The White House has already issued a directive saying federal law will trump state law when it comes to abortions for women whose lives are at risk. HHS Secretary Javier Becerra.
If your life is in danger, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that women understand what their rights are to get full protections that they're entitled to.
Pro-life activists are quick to point out that the vast majority of abortions are done for the sake of convenience, not due to the health of the mother. Democrats are turning on the president. 64% of Democratic voters, according to a new Siena College New York Times poll, do not want him to run in 2024.
Look, when you have an approval rating at 33% nationally, this president is getting dangerously close to resembling the numbers of Richard Nixon right before he resigned.
Media critic Joe Concha.
It's easily the lowest of any first-term president from Truman to Trump. And when two-thirds of your own party is begging you not to seek a second act in running for re-election, that shows that you really do have no base.
The poll finds just 13% of Americans believe the country is headed in the right direction. First Lady Jill Biden's attempt to compliment Latinos left a bad taste in a lot of mouths Monday in San Antonio. She said the Latino community is, quote, as unique as breakfast tacos. That didn't go over too well. The National Association of Hispanic Journalists issued a statement saying the First Lady's speechwriters need to better understand the complexities of our people, adding, we are not tacos. Do not reduce us to stereotypes. The head of the American Federation of Teachers says schools become too political. Randy Weingarten's group released a poll showing 9 out of 10 respondents want to get politics out of the schools. Congressman Ralph Norman doesn't believe it. He says that teachers' union wants politics in school, so long as they align with the left and not the right.
It would be laughable if it wasn't so serious. And, 9 out of 10 teachers saying it's too political. Define what political is.
is.
The congressman says this is the same Randy Weingarten who defends the teaching of CRT in school. We should mention that 99% of campaign donations made by the American Federation of Teachers goes to Democratic candidates. Parents in the state of Oregon are pushing back against a woke policy that spends taxpayer dollars to put tampons in boys' bathrooms. Concerned mom and Eagle Point, Oregon school board member Cheryl Ann Strittenberg.
We have a huge achievement gap since the pandemic, and there's so many other resources that we need that I do not understand how prioritizing putting tampons into boys' bathrooms benefits any of our students in their future success in education.
The $5.6 million Menstrual Dignity Act, as it's known, is being defended by the Oregon Department of Education. The British composer who wrote the James Bond theme song has just died. Monty Norman was hired to write the music for the 1962 classic Dr. No, and apparently it stuck. That music has been used in all 27 James Bond films. Monty Norman was 94. It's 24 past the hour, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Hometown Heroes. I'm your host, Bob Price, and our guest this week is Jim Harden of Rochester, New York. His group, Compass Care, is helping abortion-vulnerable women choose life all across the Empire State. Jim Harden, a husband and father of 10 children. I'm one of 13 myself, Jim, and I love large families. You don't see that much anymore. And just when I start to think my day is hard, I just think of you, and it's not so hard all of a sudden. But you are the president, founder of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. If you would start, just explain to our audience what Compass Care is and how it got started.
Yeah, Compass Care is a pro-life medical pregnancy center network. We have three operations across New York State. New York State, as you know, is the abortion capital of the U.S. and is increasing. It started in 1980 as the Citizens for Public Morality, and in 2001 they brought me on to help medicalize, and we were the first organization in New York State to figure it out, and that was during the Elliot Spitzer Attorney General investigations of pregnancy centers. So that's how we were born.
I remember one of the first stories I went out on as a young reporter for Family Life was to your facility there in downtown Rochester, New York, and I tell you what, it is a well-oiled machine. Such a fascinating and well-run organization. What sets Compass Care apart from others involved in the crisis pregnancy center operation?
Well, I think our team. God has just consistently brought a fantastic group of people together that love him first and foremost, that love the Lord, and want to simply serve people sacrificially. That's the secret sauce. And there's two things that are sacred in this world. Number one, God, and number two, people. Everything else is up for grabs, but we want to be the best we can be at reaching and serving women seriously considering abortion. And he's blessed us in that, and we've been able to help other pregnancy centers all across the country increase their performance as well.
This week's hometown hero is Jim Harden of Rochester, New York, president of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. I have never met a man who articulates so well the causes that you care about. Why are you so passionate about this issue?
Well, I'm passionately pro-life because I think everybody ought to be. It's rooted in Scripture. Everyone is made in the image of God and therefore deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. I don't get to play God. We're called to protect all people, not just those that we like or agree with.
Amen. Womb to the tomb. I love it. Well, now we are living in a post-Roe world, Jim. It's never happened in my lifetime. I wasn't around in 1973. We are living history right now with this decision so fresh. What are the challenges that those in the pro-life movement are going to face? And then what are the opportunities that are now here because of that momentous ruling last month?
Well, when Roe was reversed on June 24th, it instantaneously changed the billion-dollar abortion empire. They had to move to a different business model, hub and spoke. They have to get women to travel to these abortion hub states or send them to dangerous chemical abortion drugs in the mail. And so things are heating up for us. The battle lines have shifted, and now the abortion industry is attacking pregnancy centers. It's all-out war on pregnancy centers. Chemical abortions now represent over half of all abortions, and they're 400% more dangerous than surgical abortions, and they're being touted as safer than Tylenol. And so our job is to reach these women with telehealth tools, 21st century tools, and that's what we're doing to help pregnancy centers now, giving them the 21st century tools to reach and serve these women before they get the chemical abortion drugs and before they travel. And we think we can do it. We think we can serve every single woman in America.
Yeah, and you're talking about you are now the target, and you know what that feels like firsthand. One of your clinics, this made national news, one of your clinics near Buffalo was firebombed in early June by a group that's calling itself Jane's Revenge. How has that event changed how you view this debate?
Well, it's changed my view of abortion in America in that it's clear to me the masks are off, the gloves are off. The pro-abortion politicians have joined the fray with Jane's Revenge. It's surreal. It's dystopian. Jane's Revenge, the motto of Jane's Revenge, the domestic terrorist group that targets pro-life organizations, is if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you. And that's exactly how these pro-abortion politicians are now behaving. They're targeting pregnancy centers.
Unreal. Jim Hardin, it's been an honor and a privilege, sir. Where do you see you, where do you see Compass Care in the next year, 5 years, 10 years from now?
I see Compass Care as leading the charge in helping other pregnancy centers across this country serve every single woman in America who's seriously considering abortion and decimating the abortion industry, decimating it. We'll have a presence in all 50 states, and the abortion industry will only have a presence in a handful of states, and we're going to be able to reach and serve every single woman before they get an abortion. And that's what they're afraid of, and I think that's why they're moving to violence.
That's Jim Hardin of Rochester, New York. His group, Compass Care, is helping eliminate the need for abortion in the Empire State. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. All right, and Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, warm, breezy, humid. Changeable skies, clouds, sunshine, a couple showers and thundery downpours in the area. And any thunderstorm, especially in the eastern southern tier of New York into eastern Pennsylvania, has the potential to be locally strong. High temperatures, 80s, dropping back towards 60 tonight. Tomorrow, clouds and sunshine with an afternoon shower for some behind near 80. On Thursday, partly sunny with high temperatures in the 70s to near 80.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Finally, noon, a Canadian man has taken multitasking to a whole new level. As they say, don't try this at home. Family Life's Brian Query.
Juggling is not for the impatient. The skill takes lots of patience and can take years to get it right. Now take that talent and add a pair of running shoes and you get joggling.
Huh?
Yes, joggling. That's juggling while running. And a Canadian runner unofficially broke a Guinness World Record for joggling when he ran 10 kilometers in just 34 minutes and 47 seconds. Michael Bergeron of Prince Edward Island now has the world record for fastest 10 kilometers joggling with three objects. His time beat the current world record by nearly 2 minutes. He had tried breaking the record in 2018, but was disqualified on a technicality. After the race, Bergeron said he was exhausted, his feet hurt, but he was super happy. And yes, all of those at the same time. Brian Query, Family Life News.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. That's the world we live in. Tuesday, the 12th of July. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.